Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com. This is Thunder and Lightning. This is a Wednesday evening, night before Thanksgiving, 2 days before the battle for the golden egg. We are presented by Yuengling Flight, which I hope you will enjoy on your Thanksgiving, at your Thanksgiving lunch or dinner. We are presented by Dossett Big Four, and we are joined by my most esteemed colleague, political commentator, but sports savvy analyst. I'm gonna butter him up a little bit today. Richard Cross joins us here on the program. Good to have you on, as we do basically every year around this time, as we get closer and closer to the battle for the golden egg.
You remember when Dossett Big Four had the commercial series where the winners eat steak, losers eat beans?
Yes.
It was like a promotion for the Egg Bowl every year.
Yes.
That was awesome.
There you go. All right.
I hope you enjoy your beans.
I'm not a big bean guy. We'll see.
Well, you may have to be this time.
I may have to be. We'll talk about that in just a second. Let's before we get to the game, we got to talk about your guy up there in Oxford, Lane Kiffin. Is he going to be your guy in Oxford after this weekend?
I don't know. I don't know. And I know that's not the right answer, right? I mean, you're supposed to have a hot take or a definitive answer. And I've just kind of maintained throughout this process. I don't see how you can get inside Lane Kiffin's head. This decision doesn't really make sense to me. I understand the reasons that other jobs would be attractive, but I also understand what he's built. And so many people care about legacy. I don't know if Lane Kiffin has a deep interest in what his legacy is, whether it's in college football or Ole Miss football or any other thing. My brain tells me, because of all of the information that's out there, it looks like he's going elsewhere. But we have seen Lane Kiffin previously, back in 2022. It sure looked like, in fact, the deal was done. He was going to Auburn. Mm-hmm. And then he had a change of heart. And his change of heart at the time was family related. I saw that one of the online sports outlets asked the experts.
I saw that.
They polled a bunch of different people. Hey, what's Lane Kiffin going to do? And there were folks that said he was going to LSU. There were a few that said he was going to Florida. There were a few that said he was going to stay at Ole Miss, including Chris Lowe, who has developed the reputation for being somebody that carries the water and promotes the message for Lane Kiffin.
I don't know if that's going back to the freeze days. I mean, yeah.
And I think that's more tied to where he gets his information, probably being people that represent Lane Kiffin than Lane Kiffin himself. So I don't know. Hey, Dad, I don't know what it's going to do. Obviously, there has been an unnecessary distraction that has been created by Lane Kiffin. What very well could have been an opportunity for massive momentum for this Ole Miss program, not just for this year, but for years going forward. In the last couple of weeks, with the open date leading into the Egg Bowl, with a chance to get a win and host a home playoff game, all of that opportunity has been squandered as he has continued to, debate internally inside his own head where his next step is.
So for me, when I look at this game, I look at it from the terms of the things that Ole Miss does well are the things that State struggles with. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss can run the football, and State is the worst run defense in the conference. And Ole Miss can, you know, kind of get after the quarterback, and Mississippi State struggles to protect the quarterback. For me, tell me if I'm wrong, I don't know that State can win, but I do think Ole Miss can lose. Does that make sense?
That's an interesting way to characterize it. I mean, there's nobody in the SEC that has been better, excuse me, getting into the end zone this year than Kewon Lacy. He set a school record for rushing touchdowns. He leads the SEC in that category. I think maybe one of the undertold stories about this Ole Miss team is just how good the offensive line has been. They didn't necessarily begin the season that way, but they have gotten better as the season has gone along, especially with the interior of that offensive line. But really, kind of all five of those guys, they've stayed relatively healthy as a team. And so, yeah, I mean, I think you look at this Ole Miss team and you go, yeah, that's a more talented football team across the board. But we know that sometimes crazy things happen in rivalry games. Certainly, crazy things happen in this particular rivalry game. I'm not a big throw out the record books guy. That seems a bit trite when you are analyzing a matchup. But there's, I suppose, a level of truth that goes to that when you see how many times in this series the team that was favored is not the team that won the ball game. But I do agree with you. If Ole Miss runs the ball successfully, if they're able to limit the number of big plays with that talented receiving core that Mississippi State's got, if they're able to put pressure on Blake Chapin and or Kamario Taylor, depending on how that plays out for Mississippi State, then I think they've got a really good chance to walk out of Starkville awfully happy on Friday afternoon.
And you just hit on it there that there's been a swell of smoke here in Starkville that there's going to be an increased role for Kamario Taylor. Perhaps he is going to get the start in this game. I personally have trouble seeing Lebby get away from the quarterback that he's backed to this point in the season. But if that could be the case, if Taylor is the guy and what he brings to State in the running game, what does that change about maybe not your prediction so much, but just what you think about this game?
Well, Ole Miss has faced running quarterbacks throughout the course of the season, right? I mean, you go back to their opening SEC game against Arkansas and facing Taylen Green, and he had a big night. He had a big night throwing the football. He also had a big night running the football. If you want to go a little later into the year, John Mateer is a guy that can hurt you with his feet, and Ole Miss did a pretty good job containing him. To me, it's not just about sacks. It's not just about pressure, but it's about consistency of pressure. You think about the Oklahoma game in particular, or maybe the South Carolina game against a really talented running quarterback in Lenore Sellers. I feel like Ole Miss, the combination of their defensive line and their linebackers made those quarterbacks uncomfortable to the point that you saw them miss on a bunch of throws that they should hit. And some of the analysis after the game was, well, if Mateer's better, if he just hits open receivers, then this is a different outcome. Well, yeah, sure it is. Why is it that he was missing open receivers? Was it lingering issues related to the thumb? Or was it because Ole Miss was able to pressure him consistently, it got him in a spot where he just wasn't comfortable and he wasn't maybe fundamentally as good as he should be? We know that Blake Chapin, when he has time, has the ability to make good throws. Blake Chapin under pressure has not been very good. We know less about Kamario Taylor. Some of the throws have been spectacular. I think his down the field throws have been really impressive. The intermediate passing game, less so. And if you're looking at a weakness on the Ole Miss defense, it's probably in their coverage downfield on the outside. That certainly raises your antenna a little bit when you think about Brennan Thompson in particular and his speed, his ability to get behind defenders. So we'll see how that piece of it plays up. To me, though, the key for Ole Miss defensively is pressure.
All right, I know you're a loyal Thunder and Lightning listener, so you know what the X factor is when we do those on Friday. Who is that guy for Ole Miss this year?
If Kamario Taylor ends up playing a significant number of snaps, then I'm going to go Centarion Perkins because of his versatility. A linebacker, a guy that can drop back into coverage. He had a big interception late against Florida that was huge and kind of, snuffing out any attempt that Florida was making to come back in that game. His sack numbers are way, way down from where they were a year ago, but Ole Miss has kind of deployed him differently. His athletic ability, I think if Kamario Taylor plays in this game, becomes a big part. So that would be the defensive X factor. And then I'm not really going out on a limb on the offensive side. It's Kewon Lacy. Coming off that 200 plus yard performance on the ground.
Maybe you
I
don't
mean,
know what the X factor is, Rick.
I know it's supposed to be somebody off the radar. I mean, do you want me to give you Patrick Kudus, the guy that was
Just
just
say it.
named the the Kent Hall Trophy winner and the interior deep
Pick the
offensive
leading
line.
rusher in the conference and the best linebacker in Mississippi. Those are my picks. Okay. Go ahead.
Sorry.
It's all right. It's all right.
I can play this differently, pick a
Yeah,
cornerback
90
and say they're
seconds.
the
Yeah.
X factor that ultimately does a good job in coverage and doesn't give up massive plays. And on the offensive side, I don't know. How about the freshman Winnie Watkins? Super talented. Can he
Yeah, he's
find
a good
some
player.
spots in space to make catches in big plays? Is
Yes or no
that
question here.
better?
And you got, yes, it was. You got 60 seconds here. Yes or no question. This Ole Miss team is going to go to the playoff with a win. Can they win a national title?
Yes, but it solely depends on matchups. Who's that first round game against? Who do you pick in the quarterfinal? Does somebody knock Ohio State out if you end up on that side of the bracket? I think that's not a great matchup for Ole Miss. Outside of Ohio State, though, I don't think there are a lot of teams that I look at and go, they are so complete at every level on both sides of the ball that Ole Miss can't hang with them. Ole Miss has scored on everybody. To me, the question though would be, can Ole Miss's defense make enough plays to allow them to continue to advance if they face an elite offense in the playoffs?
Battle for the Golden Egg, 11 a.m. here in Starkville. You will be in attendance. I will be in the press box. Richard Cross, you know where to find him. Thanks for joining me, man.
Thanks,
Back in just a
buddy.
minute here on Thunder and Lightning.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.